Salons, movie theaters, and gyms, the latest businesses permitted to reopen under Governor Whitmer's Safe Start plan as the Upper Peninsula transitions to Stage 5. How businesses are meeting the governor's guidelines and what you need to know next. Welcome to Media Meet. I'm your host, Elizabeth Peterson. It's the news so many have been waiting for, the Upper Peninsula this week moving to Phase 5 of the governor's Safe Start plan. That means salons, movie theaters, and gyms were able to open this week under guidelines and restrictions. Also permitted indoor gatherings and events of up to 50 people, as well as outdoor gatherings and events of up to 250 people. This is a big step. Joining us today to talk through all that this entails via Zoom, State Representative Sarah Cambenzi, Chief Executive Officer of the YMCA of Marquette County, Jenna Zadunek, Director of the Peter White Public Library, Andrea Ingmeyer, and here in the studio, Jamie Thayer, owner of Anytime Fitness Harvey, Glow Sculpting Spa, and Jessica & Company. Thank you all so much for joining us. I know it has been such a busy week. State Representative Sarah Cambenzi, we're going to start with you today. This announcement, it was highly anticipated, moving the Upper Peninsula to Stage 5 of the governor's Safe Start plan. We had you on the program, you know, about a month or so ago, and you spoke then about the message to the governor from the Upper Peninsula and how important it was to show essentially that we were ready. Talk about the planning, the cooperation, the partnerships here in the UP that got us to this place.
Yeah, I have to give a lot of credit to Marty Fatante with Invest UP, as well as all of our CEOs from our UP hospitals, all of our university presidents, and certainly our economic development groups that represent our small businesses have been at the table working together for a long time, talking about how we can show the governor that we're prepared to reopen and do so in a safe and responsible way. And there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that people didn't see, but you know, rest assured, we took their anxieties to the governor. We said, we think we can do this. She gave us the green light after we were able to get Marty Fatante in front of one of her administrative staffers and really talk through this. And, you know, that's when you saw the movement. There was a little anxiety before Memorial Day, but really, you know, our small businesses stepped up to the plate and made sure people were wearing masks, didn't allow more people in their stores than they felt they could handle safely. And so this partnership, just like the UP Spirit and so many other things, we came together to prove that we can handle this. We're not going to do it like Wisconsin did, but we want our small businesses to survive and we can do it together. And that's just what we did.
Now, of course, we know everything is dependent on coronavirus activity. So if the numbers remain low, we'll continue to progress. And so there's been this emphasis on people still doing their part. This week, there was a small spike here in the Upper Peninsula with the numbers compared to weeks prior. Still pretty low when you look at what's going on around the state. But are you concerned that things might get too relaxed? And what do people in the UP still need to be doing?
You know, I think some people have said we're over it. No more masks, no more social distancing. But I think science and the data we're seeing is proving elsewhere. A lot of the cases we're seeing, it's from movement, some of it from out of the area, but certainly some of it from our UP residents starting to travel and come back. But that's why it's so important to, you know, do the testing, self-isolate if you have a test that comes back positive, but keep wearing your masks, keep doing the social distancing. There's a reason we're doing this. And even if you feel you're protected, you know, we just want to remind people that a lot of the reason we wear masks is to protect other people, because you never know if their immune systems are compromised or what they're going through. And so it's just really that ability to get everyone to say, you know what, we're going to make a very small sacrifice when we're in these situations in public to protect everyone and really keep those numbers down. And we've done an amazing job. We knew we were going to see a little bit of a rise in cases, But I can tell you that those numbers are far below what we even thought we were going to see once we moved to stage five.
And we've talked before about just how different this summer is going to be. Events, you know, they've been canceled. Tourism numbers will certainly be drastically impacted. Now that businesses are opening and there is some activity, what is the focus and how does the Upper Peninsula begin to recover?
I think the focus is on, certainly showing people that we're doing this responsibly from the businesses that have signs up, but also, you know, sharing their stories and what their struggles are right now. Part of what we have to do or help do is build up the confidence. And, you know, we, all of us, are unsure of where this virus is or how it's going to affect us. But, you know, I think if we, you know, give the community some reassurance, that's why you saw our hospitals actually, start putting out a lot of numbers, start telling people, here's our capacity, to make them feel comfortable as we moved into, stage five. We couldn't do that without, our businesses and certainly our hospitals. Our universities are going to be next to be at the table and telling their story and really hearing from our small business owners, I think right now is going to be key, and making sure that, the media is able and willing to pick them up, I think is where we need to focus the attention now.
So, and as we said earlier in the program this week, gyms, salons, movie theaters, all businesses that were able to open their doors for the first time in nearly 3 months. Jamie, let's start with you here in the studio. It's nice to see you. I know that you were at the gym Wednesday morning, whatever you call it, right at midnight when you were able to open the doors. Mm-hmm. So what was that like for you?
It was like Christmas morning. It was very exciting. It was like Christmas morning. We have our diehard members that were waiting at the door, and I put out information about our capacity limits and all the steps that we're taking, and everyone followed everything to the letter, which I really appreciated because, everyone is at a different level here and their opinions and everything. But, speaking on myself and my teams for all three businesses, we take social responsibility and health and safety very, very seriously. So we put an activation plan in place based on other states that had previously opened and what we were seeing as best practices before the governor even rolled anything out. So we actually have gone above and beyond what has been expected because we already were anticipating that. I'm not someone to sit and wait for the direction. I'm a doer. And so thankfully, we were able to activate as soon as we got the green light, and so far, so good. I feel like we're great.
And Jenna, you're here with us from the YMCA. What about for you? What was that moment like when you were finally able to open your doors, and what was the response been from your members?
It was so wonderful. We're a family here at the Y. I've been here almost 20 years. And so just to see everyone again was amazing. To keep 6 feet distance, I have my mask on at all times. I did, of course, but it was hard not to want to hug, especially the little ones. We opened our childcare Monday when they all wanted to run up to me, na-na-na-na, and I'm like, oh, I can't hug you. So we were doing lots of air hugs and lots of air high fives. Similar to Jamie, we've had almost 3 months to plan. I mean, being a national organization of the YMCA, I was on calls every day, multiple times of the day, to plan for this and find out from other YMCAs around the country what worked, what didn't work, what they were following. And we went above and beyond too to put those best practices in place and really go even do more than what we were told to when the governor made the announcement on Friday, which I was jumping up and down and screaming because I was so excited. So we really were ready. We cleaned the facility. We had all of our steps in place and staff trained. And so, we felt very, we navigated it. And I'm so thankful for the team and, my great board of directors that helped me through this and the Y. And so it was, when we opened those doors yesterday morning, it was amazing. And everyone was very respectful. We're talking about our Y mission and our values. And so honesty, respect, caring, responsibility, those are things that were really making sure people remember when they come into the Y, because those are the things we have to follow to make sure we do stay safe.
So talk a little bit more about the specific steps that you all are taking. You know, the gyms are being categorized as like high risk, obviously breathing heavy, you're sweating. So I know both facilities have done some unique things to keep your members safe. Jenna at the Y, you have a tent outside. You guys are doing outdoor social fitnessing. Right. So if you could, each of you, talk about specifically those steps that you're taking.
Sure. So right when people walk in our doors, we only have one entrance. Normally we have six doors. So we just have the one at the front of our building. The back of our building will only be for our licensed childcare families, and then our day camp, and that kicks off on Monday the 15th. And we're constantly cleaning those doors. So that's something that's extremely important. When the members walk in the Y, we do have tape on the ground, 6 feet apart, just because we didn't know if it was going to be very, very busy. And so we are following that 25% capacity of our building. They come in and they have to stop and look at a health check. And so if they answer yes to any of the questions on the health check, they're actually not allowed in the building. Again, honesty, honor system. Then they walk through, they have to read our guidelines. So they have to read that they have to respect others and keep that 6 feet social distancing. And that we're asking them to clean and sanitize every piece of equipment that they touch, dumbbells, before and after. And then of course our staff are adding an additional step in cleaning those as well. And so we're asking that they keep those 6 feet apart. We are highly encouraging that they wear a mask. Most members that I've seen are wearing a mask in the hallways, in between equipment. Some are taking their mask off when they are on equipment running for different reasons, but then I see them putting the mask back on as they're walking through the Y. So we're definitely requiring certain things, and then we're highly recommending others. We have gotten rid of our coffee service, our towel service. We've turned off our drinking fountains. We only have our water bottle filler open. We've also removed all of our fans and increased our air conditioning. We've also added, you know, the outdoor group exercise classes. So we have two big tents outside. One tent is for outdoor group X, 6 feet apart, safe social distancing. The other tent is for our childcare because we're splitting the kids into groups. And then our day camp will be using that as well. So this week we're doing just a very soft, limited opening because we thought we wanted to make sure quality, not quantity. We wanted to make sure we were at that 25% capacity and we were ready and we had the staff trained to clean. Next week we're going to increase our hours a little bit and then open our pool and hot tub and some other areas of the YMCA. And that's kind of our plan, is to phase this out and see how it goes and make sure that we are being responsible and safe and that our members are following those guidelines.
What about for you, Jamie? I would imagine a lot of those same practices. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are doing a lot of the same things. And, you know, and it just goes to show that gyms in the area are responsible. But what we're doing is, you know, of course, members do have to go through that health check questionnaire when they come in. And then there's guidelines posted everywhere. My team gets their temperature checked with an infrared forehead scan thermometer every day when they come in. They're wearing masks. We have distanced some of the equipment, especially cardio equipment, to be more than 6 feet apart. There's signage all over, including on the floor, markers for social distancing. We've moved group fitness outside and still requesting that people social distance. I've hired additional cleaning people. Our gym was always really clean, so if you've ever been in, you know, we take pride in that, and I'm kind of a perfectionist, so that kind of trickled over to my team. But other than that, you know, we're really taking this seriously, you know, making sure our staff is reminding people to social distance if they're not, asking people to be respectful. I've also added air purifiers throughout the gym. They're medical grade. And then leading up to this, we've repainted almost the entire building and sanitized from top to bottom. But we're also providing, if members come in and they do not have a mask, we're providing masks, we're providing gloves if they feel more comfortable, increased sanitizing stations, increased, you know, the stations with wipes, because we're encouraging wiping before and after usage. And Yeah, so far so good. I hope I covered everything. Jenna did a great job, and I was like, "Yep, we did that. Yep."
So Jamie, you said things that I didn't even think. I mean, that I didn't mention. So it sounds like we're actually very similar. We moved our equipment 6 feet apart as well. Actually, half of it went to our gymnasium, and then the equipment that we couldn't move apart because of electrical capacity, we're going to rotate through, and we've actually just completely shut those down. And then the same, where all of our staff do have to wear masks. That's absolutely required. I'm not wearing one in my office. And when I go out and talk to members, I'm absolutely putting my mask on. And they're getting temperature checks as well. We're also temperature checking our children when they come in. So all the licensed childcare, as well as when day camp starts on Monday, every staff, as well as every child in our building, will have a temperature check as well. And yes, we've spent a lot of money as a nonprofit on PPE supplies and really doubled our cleaning custodial staff. So there's pretty much a staff on all open hours that's doing additional cleaning. So yeah, very similar.
Also with us today is Andrea from the Peter White Public Library. And Andrea, while we talk about the governor's Safe Start plan moving through the different stages, the library has created their own plan. And you're currently in phase three of that plan, which means the library does remain closed at this time. So talk a little bit about that plan, how you all came up with it, and what people in the community need to know.
Sure. Well, like Jenna mentioned, as a library director, I'm involved with a lot of, national and state groups working on how libraries should respond to this. And so I've sat in call after call and meeting after meeting about what a library's response should look like. And really the phased restart of library services is a national thing. Libraries across the country are being encouraged to phase in their services and really to do so from the vein of responsibility and from the vein of protecting both our staff and our patrons and providing library services that are high quality and that really take safety and need in mind. So we are in stage three, and what that looks like for the library is really the first public stage of our plan. So stage one and two started on June 1st, and that is all the staff training. We were not able to have staff on site until June 1st. So we've really been working remotely this whole time, also planning and making arrangements for how we're going to reopen. But June 1st was really when we were able to all gather together at the library, do the training, really go through the nuts and bolts of all the services that we wanted to kick off. But our staff has been working remotely for the last several months, providing virtual programming, really beefing up our online presence with digital resources and databases, and working on those communication platforms so that we can communicate effectively with our patrons, even when our doors are closed. So the next stages of our plan, stage four is when we'll be allowing people into the building. And then stage five brings back on-site programming. And stage six is when everything's back to normal. All of our services resume. So we're all looking forward to stage six, but we're not quite there yet.
And you know, you talked briefly about how you've been working so much to create this virtual community, continuing so many of your programs online. Talk a little bit about what that transition has been like for you all. It seemed pretty fluid from looking from the outside in.
Well, fortunately, we have a staff who are just really excited about programming. So as soon as we closed, you know, we had that 1 week of everybody panicking and saying, oh my gosh, what is this thing that we're coming up against? And then the next week, I started getting calls and emails from staff saying, I need to do virtual programming. How can I do that? Let's get this going. So it didn't take us long after the doors had to close before my staff was saying, we're going to do this. How are we going to do this? Our management team met every week at least once to talk about where we're at now, what's coming up, and what more can we do at this current venture. And so even when we were closed, our staff was working at least 60% capacity and doing so from home, which I think is pretty outstanding considering, libraries have maybe a small reputation of being old school. But we definitely stepped up to the plate in the virtual environment. So our youth services department has done a lot with Facebook and Facebook Live and doing story times. Publishers, I really have to give a lot of credit to the publishing industry, because they tend to be very restrictive. And during this time, they opened up their restrictions so that we would be able to do story time and provide that digitally. Normally, you can't read a book online and have that be okay with the publishing industry. So they really were accommodating for schools and libraries so that we would be able to do a lot of the programming that we did and continue to do. And then our adult programming really got started a little over a month ago, and our adult services librarian is adding music programming. She's got music programming every week throughout the whole summer, and those are on Mondays. She's also doing programming on Fridays with Canopy Service, so doing a kind of book movie review club kind of thing. And we just keep finding new ways we can add more programming all the time. So I think our staff handled the transition really well. It became apparent to us what technology we had that was adequate, what we needed to add more of. If you were someone who did not have a webcam before the pandemic and you started looking for webcams, you realized pretty quickly how hard that became immediately. So we really had to scramble a little bit on the technology and just to get the equipment that we needed. But once we had it, our staff just really took off. And that virtual programming will continue. I think we've had requests for virtual programming for people who are homebound for a couple of years. And we've kind of, you know, tried to figure out how to do it. But, you know, when you're just busy with everything else, it's hard to fit another thing in. So this gave us a great opportunity to figure it out, get it in place, and now we can just carry it forward. It won't be the bulk of our programming, of course, once we're able to open completely again, but it will continue to be a part of what we're doing for a very long time. And I think our folks, especially in the depths of winter, who have mobility challenges or who just don't want to go out for a library program, will find that to be a real benefit in the future.
And Jenna, I want to go back to you quickly because, you know, the YMCA, it's not just about the gym and the classes. You also, as you mentioned, the day camp and the child development center. And I know so many families rely on these programs and also on the scholarships and the financial assistance that you're able to provide. And it's my understanding that that continues on and you are still there for the community in that aspect.
Yes, Elizabeth, absolutely. You know, we don't consider ourselves a gym. Yes, some people see us as that, but we're really a community and for anyone of all ages. And so the scholarships are huge. And even though we were in the middle of an annual campaign to raise money for that financial assistance, you know, the pandemic started, right? We were in the middle of that campaign. We will still provide financial assistance to families. You know, for over two decades of being a Y in Marquette County, we've never turned anyone away without the inability to pay, and we will continue that. So I want to urge people that if they need to get their family back and get healthy again, they can apply. It's all online. And so, you know, we want to make sure that everyone is welcome in the Y. And yes, so we also have our programs out at K.I. Sawyer. And we're starting day camp out there again safely. We're following, you know, the health department, our licensing, LARA, you know, YMCA of the USA guidelines. And so we've taken all those steps from following all those guidelines to provide, like I said, the childcare, day camps, and offer those extra services. Right now, we are not starting our Tot Watch drop-in childcare yet because we just can't safely do so. You can't keep kids 6 feet apart. And so we're navigating how we can hopefully do that in a next phase, depending, of course, on science and everything we're finding out. So we're going to slowly open the Y. Week by week, the West End YMCA will open on the 15th as well. Same health checks and guidelines as the Marquette YMCA. And again, we'll try to start offering those programs for children as soon as we can safely do so. We are going to start a after, like a Kids Fit Club outside. So we've already marked the tents outside 6 feet apart. And so we're going to have those kids do like a fitness class, basically with our personal trainers and fitness staff. And they'll still stay 6 feet apart, and we'll see how that goes. So yes, scholarships available, all families welcome. And I'm just really excited to be back and see that YMCA family again.
Definitely. State Representative Camp Benzie, three very different businesses, organizations here with us today, all working so hard together, as so many in the community are planning, adapting, doing what they can to reopen and reengage. It's not an easy road. We'll be looking at this and working through all of this for a very long time. What is your message as you're out in the community and speaking with business owners?
You know, I think from the business owner perspective, they've been great. They've been patient. They've been understanding. They really want to do things right. And you heard that through the testimony today. You know, I guess what I'd like to tell the community is that, you know, none of us have a playbook on how this is going to go. We're still learning things about this virus, and we're making the best decisions as we go along and trying to balance the economy with people's health and safety. And we've gotten a few things wrong at the state level. Certainly, I think many federal officials would say the same thing. But we are working diligently right now, even on legislation in the future. Should we find ourselves in a second spike? Should we go through this again several years from now? What do we need to do to be better prepared? And just kind of admitting that, as elected officials, we might not have done things to how people or businesses may have wanted them done or how they felt they could be done. But we are listening. Their input is important. And again, just getting the confidence up and getting people focused on reopening, getting back into their routines, but certainly trying to mesh, even our public school system, the reopening of that, and what does that mean for businesses? What does it mean for employees, if we still have some restrictions in place? So this is ongoing, but we continue to work at it every day and, just letting people know that we are listening.
Well, that is all the time that we have for today. And I want to thank all of you again for joining us. We wish you all of the best as you continue the reopening process. And thanks to all of you watching and those listening on Public Radio 90. For WNMU-TV, I'm Elizabeth Peterson. Stay safe.
The program was produced by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television, and studios located in Elizabeth and Edgar Hardin Hall.